In the Gospels, James comes first in the list of the Lord's half-brothers. At that time, he did not believe in Christ. But after the resurrection, both he and the other brothers became disciples. At Pentecost, the Lord's mother and brothers were among the believers in the upper room. 3 or 4 years later, Paul, who had become a believer, went to see James and Peter in Jerusalem. By AD 44, James was a leader in the church, overseeing the Jewish believers, and in AD 49, he was one of those who headed up the first church council. According to tradition, he was martyred in Jerusalem in AD 62 during a riot. It is generally accepted that it was this James who was the author of the letter that bears his name, although he simply says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. His letter was probably the earliest document of the New Testament to be written, dating perhaps as early as AD 45. It is addressed to Jewish Christians living abroad. The theme of the epistle is true faith. The author's aim was to comfort Jews who had turned to Christ and had become targets of persecution from their unbelieving countrymen. The reality of faith in Christ, says James, is seen in the believer's ability to endure trials and afflictions with courage and patience, because testing gives knowledge and experience and develops perseverance and maturity of Christian character. He even calls upon believers to consider it pure joy whenever trials come along, as this testing, patiently endured, will one day result in the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. If anyone lacks wisdom, says James, he should ask God with faith and without doubting. When tried by temptation, no one should think that God is tempting him, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. It is the human heart with its evil desires that lead men astray, resulting in sin and death. Do not be deceived, says James. Every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, nor shadow of turning. James exhorts the believer not merely to listen to the word of truth, but to do what it says, by rejecting evil and submitting to God's perfect law that sets men free. For the word is like a mirror showing a person what he is really like. The man who does not forget the word of truth, but puts it into practice, will be blessed. Faith, which honors the Lord, does not show favoritism, nor does it discriminate between rich and poor. For, says the author, has not God chosen those who are poor to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom? If therefore you keep the royal law which says, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Genuine faith produces good works, which prove its existence, as faith and deeds are inseparable. A saving faith is seen in a righteous life and in practical ways, by doing good to others. Faith which is not accompanied by action is dead. James gives a striking example of this. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Then the author of the letter deals with the sins of the tongue. As a tiny spark can set a great forest ablaze, so the tongue, which is a small part of the body, can set on fire the whole course of a person's life. The tongue is a world of evil, he declares, full of deadly poison. No man can tame it. Then changing his metaphor, James says, can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? Yet out of the same mouth come thanksgiving and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to control his whole body. James then informs his readers that there are two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of the world, which is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil, producing envy, selfish ambition, and disorder. And there is the wisdom from above, which is peaceful, considerate, full of compassion, impartial, and sincere. It sows in peace and raises a harvest of righteousness. Therefore, says James, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do not slander or judge one another, for the Lord alone is judge. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is guilty of sin. Be patient in suffering, as with the prophets. Do not swear or make an oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Pray for each other in times of trouble, for the prayer of a righteous man has a powerful effect. Finally, the author refers to the blessing of anyone who brings a brother back from error to the truth, knowing that this will save the sinner's life and bring about forgiveness. Next episode, Paul's second missionary journey.